One, two, three, four. Red Velvet Revelry. Red Velvet Revelry. Join us and you will see. It's time for Red Velvet Revelry. Stories you never knew. Facts that are coming through. We'll bring them all to you. Sisters, that's what we do. Red Velvet Revelry. Red Velvet Revelry. Join us and you will see. It's time for Red Velvet Revelry.
Welcome to Red Velvet Revelry. My name is Mary Louise. I'm a storyteller. I'm also a woman in the second half of life, exploring what it means to be a whole, happy, sexual individual. It's not always that easy to hear women telling their happy, life-affirming stories about sexuality. So I'm hoping that by sharing my stories and inviting other women to do the same, we can explore and embrace this vital area of life together. I'm starting from where I am, as someone who's white, straight, not disabled, and has always identified as a woman, living in Scotland in the middle years of my life. I invite others whose journey is similar or different to mine to share their stories too, so we can all benefit from them. I'll also share some resources that I found interesting or helpful, in case they might also be helpful for you. Join me now for some Red Velvet Revelry, and let's tell some new stories about sex. In our own words. Hello, and welcome to the Virgin podcast of Red Velvet Revelry. I'm Mary Louise, and sometimes you can find me out and about with my chum, Heidi Docherty. We've got a show called Red Velvet Revelry. We tell stories and sing songs and generally celebrate women's sexuality. But at the moment, we don't seem to be doing a lot of live performing. So I've decided the time has come for the Red Velvet Revelry podcast. And this is the first one. Is this a time to be telling stories about sex, I hear you ask? Well, I think it is. And I think there's a precedent for it too. Have you heard of the Tales of Boccaccio, also known as the Decameron? Well, it's a piece of medieval literature that's an absolute classic. In 1348, Giovanni Boccaccio and his pals left Florence because of the plague. They went to a villa to do some rather privileged social distancing. While they were there, they started telling stories. Stories to entertain and distract each other. Stories to keep their spirits up. There were all kinds of stories. There were stories that had a moral tale. There were stories that were religious. But the best remembered stories are the body ones, the ones about sex. And it must have worked, because they were all very well at the end of their time together, and the stories have remained. In fact, medieval doctors, who couldn't treat epidemics with medicine very well, recommended that one of the best things that people could do for their health and well-being was to tell each other their stories and to listen to the stories of their friends. We'd like Red Velvet Revelry to be a place where you can hear stories, and if you like, you can even send your own stories in. I'm going to start today with a story of my own. It's rather personal. It involves a trip to Anne Summers. I don't know how familiar you are with Anne Summers. It's a chain of sex shops, big, bright, confident sex shops that you find in malls and in the city centres. When I was younger, I could not have brought myself to go into such a shop. I was too embarrassed. I was too sexually repressed. I didn't know what was in there. I didn't want to be seen in there, no matter how curious I might have been. When I turned 50, I realised that maybe some of my attitudes towards sex needed a bit of re-examination. I needed to explore different parts of my life that I just hadn't really thought about for a long time. In that exploration, I realised that maybe the time had come for me to go to that shop and try it. To be bold enough to walk into the shop and take the risk of being seen and maybe even learning something. Not only that, but at that time, I was a single woman and I'd never had a vibrator. I'd heard about them. I'd seen them on Grace and Frankie. I hadn't really had much of a chat with anybody about them. But I thought, you know, I am entitled to have a sex life of my own. So I thought I would go and buy myself a vibrator. One Saturday afternoon, I took all my courage in both hands and got the bus up the town to go to Ann Summers. I walked right into the shop, past all the underwear, right up to where there were shelves of items that I knew I would find what I was looking for. But there were a lot of items that I didn't really recognise and I needed a bit of help. I called to one of the young assistants and said, "Excuse me." I said, "I wonder if you could help me. I'm looking for a vibrator, but I don't really know what I'm looking for." "No problem," said the girl. "Now tell me, are you looking for something inside or something outside?" "Oh," I said. "Well, I don't know. Well, it's definitely something inside. I mean, something from outside." "Oh, I don't know, both." "Well, come over here and I'll show you what I use." And she showed me this rubbery purple item with fringes on the side. She pressed a button and it started to shuggle. "Feel this. What do you think?" It made me think of a kind of an alien. No, I don't think so. Not for me. What about this? This is what we call a rabbit model. You might like this. It's got something for your in and something for your out." "Oh." She pressed a button and it started to vibrate. "Feel it." And she held it against the back of my hand. And what it reminded me of was, you know when you go to buy a lipstick and you're not allowed to put the lipstick on your lips, so you put it on your hand. And then you've got a pretty good idea of what the lipstick looks like on the back of your hand, but not really what it would look like on your lips. It was a bit like that. How could I really get the information that I needed from buzzing this thing against my hand? I suppose in an ideal world, there'd be some kind of cubicle where you could go and try it out properly. I'm not quite sure how to make a decision. The girl looked at me and said, "Why don't I leave you to have another wee look and you can let me know if you need any more help?" "Yes, that's a good idea. Thanks." So I looked along the shelf and I saw other vibrators. Some things I wasn't quite sure what I was looking at. I could see a thing that was like an egg. I could see a thing that had batteries in it that if you put it in your pants and press the button, it would vibrate in your pants. I suppose that could be fun, I thought. Around me, all these different vibrators were different prices, different sizes, different colours. How was I going to make a choice? I did what I always do when I'm going to make a purchase of some electrical equipment. I looked for a brand name that I was familiar with. I looked for something in the middle of the range and preferably in the sale. And there it was. A pink rabbit in a pink box. Half price. Perfect. Feeling quite proud of myself, I grasped hold of the box and walked up to the counter. What I hadn't really bargained on was other people in the queue, especially not a man with a large collection of different kinds of condoms and a lot of lube. Somehow I just couldn't stand behind him in the queue. I felt too embarrassed. I ducked behind a a rail of clothes that were on sale. When he'd gone, I went up to the counter. I was very happy to speak to the girls. They were lovely. And I didn't feel the least bit embarrassed when I was on my own making my purchase. But when she said, "Would you like a bag for that?" I thought, probably not. I probably didn't want to get on the bus with an Ann Summers bag. I probably didn't want to walk up the road and go past my neighbours carrying one. Fortunately, it fitted inside my rather large handbag. I managed to get on the bus. No one was any the wiser. I managed to get into my house and close the door securely with my new purchase. It didn't take me too long to get the hang of using my new pink friend, as it soon became known. There was one thing I was a bit concerned about, though. I was aware that in the shop, when I had tried different models, well, the vibrations were different with different machines. Some of them reminded me of a phone buzzing, others an electric whisk, others a rather strong toothbrush of the electric variety. I couldn't know whether my neighbours would be aware of these vibrations. What if they went through the wall? What if they went up through the floorboard? I had to just trust that if my neighbours were aware of anything going on, that they would just assume that I had been given the lovely gift of a top-of-the-range electric toothbrush. And was my vibrator the answer to all my womanly, sensual needs? Well, not exactly. But that's another story. Well, that brings us to the end of our first ever Red Velvet Revelry podcast. Thank you for joining me. Next time, there'll be a new story and a review of a book that's a favourite of ours, The Joy of Sex. Heidi likes this book so much, she's written a song about it. If you'd like to find out more about what we do, please visit our website, redvelvetrevelry.com. There's also a Facebook page if you'd like to like us and see what's going on there. If you would like to share a story from your own life that might inspire or encourage other women in the area of sexuality, please get in touch with us via the website. Until next time, though, it's a warm farewell from Red Velvet Revelry.
1, 2, 3, 4. Red Velvet Revelry, Red Velvet Revelry. Join us and you will see. It's time for Red Velvet Revelry. Stories you never knew. Facts that are coming through. We'll bring them all to you. Sisters, that's what we do. Red Velvet Revelry. Red Velvet Revelry. Join us and you will see. It's time for Red Velvet Revelry.